This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?"
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Talking
Movies
Pictures
Movies
Show.
That was fine, but can you just do it as just one person?
We're not used to
it. Yeah, we normally do it, just one of us does it, and we don't have.
Right, okay. Hiya, and welcome to the Talking Movies Pictures Movies Show.
Less northern, if you could do it less.
Less northern.
Northern.
Because Tim's.
Hello, and welcome to the Talking Movies Pictures Movies Show.
And which one of us was that?
You can't.
Good. We normally say Plowcombe, though, and if you could just.
Okay.
We tried to drop the C bomb in actually earlier than that.
Even earlier.
All possible. Right. Cunt Plowcombe, Pictures Movies, Talking Pictures Movies, Movies, Pictures Talking Movies, 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 Pictures, 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 Movies, 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 Movies.
All right, yeah.
That's it. You've got excellent. That's as close as we've had to
show.
Yeah, exactly. Very good.
We should probably explain to the
listeners
that
yeah.
what's going on, because yeah. what they've heard there at the beginning is two very different voices than
it's not, and it's not us.
Andy and Tim.
Yeah.
Which is us.
That is us.
So do you want to explain the reasoning why other people were using their voices?
Yes. We normally just have one guest on, but this time there's two of them.
Yeah,
and we thought that if you're two people, then what you think you're better than us or what? Because we're two people.
No, we think we're equal to you.
What you think you can just do it?
Well, we are.
So we should probably get to our first segment because we wanted because two of us usually do the intro and now we've got another two of you. So we thought
you're so fucking clever because there's two of you.
You're doing the intro.
Should we get two of someone else to come and do the intro?
Someone else.
Yeah, well we're doing
you're
it
subletting
now,
the intro.
Yeah exactly. Yeah.
So do the podcast then. Just do the podcast.
Yeah. Right. You go into our first.
Do the intro. Yeah. Do the first. Go into the first segment. Which as you know,
the first segment is. What word?
Talking movies. Is it talking movies?
What word do you miss from the English language? What hasn't been used much recently?
It's close, so close.
Oh, right.
Close to what
aqueduct.
Actually...
Aqueduct.
Yeah, I don't hear that word very much.
You just
anymore.
Did.
Yeah, I know, because I said it.
It's a sort of self-defeating segment, isn't it, really?
It is, yes, yeah. Just think about a word that you don't hear anymore.
Pick a word, any word.
The segment...
Ooh, I know one.
Oh.
No. You're right, you don't, you're right. I haven't heard that in ages.
I mean, you shouldn't really be saying that word.
I haven't heard that since my nan died.
Although, presumably, the word lives on her gravestone.
It does, yeah. It which is vandalised hourly.
Yeah.
Can't make it any worse, though.
Someone just puts an S at the front so it brightens up the whole word.
So it's
how you fix it. That's how you make that word funny.
You make it like it is funny.
Yeah.
Because they think it's funny.
So it reads saqueduct. Just turn that spout.
The first segment is Marvel News.
Marvel News.
Marvel News. All so right. Just do that.
I've heard in Marvel News, my favourite Spider-Man villain, Cardiac, is back.
Are they...
Can't remember Cardiac.
Are we allowed to do this, Tim?
So, but you can't actually do the Marvel News.
Have we not got the licenses?
No, I mean, you never actually do it.
Yeah,
it's like the whole thing. It's like, I mean, you say Marvel News.
It's a very clever device.
Very clever.
Yeah.
Mm. So just start it, but then don't actually do it.
It's our headline segment, but if you say it.
But you cannot do it.
Okay. So there's just silence then?
No, you do it, but you just can't do it.
Right, okay.
Right. It's, but do the segment, but don't actually do the segment. Right, you know. Okay. So just off you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, this week in Marvel News, we'll be talking.
Wait, hang on. Have you? Did you put the kettle on?
Oh,
did I put the kettle
this
on?
This is great. This is great. This is excellent.
Well, I didn't bring. I thought you brought the kettle.
No, you are the kettle.
I am the kettle.
The kettle is inside of you.
Oh, it's a little bit.
It's inside of
the kettle. Is
it a travel? I hope this is a travel kettle because. Otherwise,
when did Marvel in about?
I haven't actually said Marvel.
The marvelous kettle that is inside me.
Okay,
that's quite clever.
It's on the way back.
What?
It's doing whatever.
It's lost its way.
Doing whatever a spider can.
Well, a spider can get inside me as well as what you.
Well, if it buys you a drink first,
and then they can't do Marvel News. It turns out. So that's fine, that's how it's meant to go. Well done. Clever. So that's that segment done.
Yeah. I guess they are so fucking clever.
Oh, God. Okay, so...
it's because there's three of us.
Yeah.
Now you've... now you've just...
The spider, is that the third one?
You've just...
No, drop that now. That's the end of that segment.
Yeah,
so,
you can't go back.
I was genuinely excited about Cardiac coming back.
And now you're actually not allowed to mention Marvel for the rest of the episode. No, so I broke my own rule just then.
Mm.
But... because this is...
What would Judge Dredd make of this? That's what I want to know.
Clever, clever. Mm. So, movie news now, probably?
Yeah. What's in the news? What's happening? Tell us about the movies.
Everyone died. Everyone died.
In the film, or the people that were making the film?
No, in the film.
Mm-hmm. Dunkirk?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've Dunkirk, and now we're doing Spock.
Oh, Christ.
Working our way through the characters.
Yeah. So Kirk's done.
Kirk's done. Yeah. That's if you watch it in reverse, it's that. Actually, no, if you watch it in reverse, it's Cricknud.
Oh.
Have you seen Cricknud? You mean Dunkirk? No, I was rewinding it.
Again, I'm afraid.
Sorry, I got. But it's my token.
Is that not allowed? Is that
Well, it's because you're doing the intro of our podcast.
And we're not.
And we're
not. We're not Northern.
Is this still the intro? Right.
Yeah.
All right.
Which film are you reviewing this week?
We're going to be reviewing Devil Cats.
Yeah.
Yep. Two.
That doesn't sound like a real movie.
I don't think that's real.
Well, this is a real podcast.
Guys, you can't Devil review Cats fake two. Movies.
We're reviewing Titanic 2.
That does exist.
That
does exist.
It does exist.
Yeah. No, but it does exist. Straight to DVD. I'm not joking, it does exist.
Straight to... really?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Do you think that global warming is like a really kind of long-term plan to make sure that a disaster of that magnitude never happens again?
It never happens again, yeah. Or that it happens on a bi...
Well, no icebergs, no more icebergs.
No more icebergs.
Oh, that is true, yeah.
Yeah.
And how many stars would you give Titanic 2?
Two, aptly. And Titanic 3, I would give three.
Be careful, because based on that model, that Titanic 2 gets two stars, we'd have to give... Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 2, 8 stars, which we can't because it's out of 5. So that just brings down the whole system. So you have to be careful.
That's it for the intro. So,
how many stars would you give them for the intro, Tim?
Give them? Yeah. Well, there's only two of them, so two.
Two, obviously, and that's generous.
But then but there's two of them twice because we're here.
So two, four stars, round up to 5. Well done.
Well done, 5 stars. Now, after the break, we're going to be joined by Josh Sadler and Ross Brierley. I think they've done a movie or something, is it?
We have.
Go on.
No. Hold on.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com slash upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to the Talking Movies, Pictures, Movies show. We are interviewing...
We do that every time.
Every time, this at this time, point.
There's twice as many.
Yeah, and so we're back in control now. Yeah. We have the reins of the podcast in our hands.
All four hands. And they've got four hands. And it's Josh Adler and Ross Briley.
Hello.
And they're waving their hands in audio medium.
We are 100%... Well, if
can
we
you
do
wave
it,
your hands enough to make it...
It's going to sound like something else, isn't
it?
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
It would sound like something else.
We'd be good Foley artists, wouldn't we?
We would, yeah.
Yeah, for porn films.
Oh, that's what you're talking about. Okay.
He's a very naive man.
You're here to the Brighton movie, of course.
Yes.
Now, obviously, this is quite an unusual dynamic we've got here, in that we normally have someone who acts in the film, or the director, or the writer.
It's so unusual.
And obviously, Ross, you've
I'm freaking out.
Done a lot of that for this film.
Yep.
Josh, you're not a traditionally that area of the production.
No, that's right.
So what was it that you actually did on this film?
I was operating the boom.
Okay.
For the majority of the film. I'm also, I do have a small cameo in the film, which was very difficult because I also had to operate the boom.
So was it a deliberate cameo or...?
It was intentional, yes, okay, but good. The struggle with that particular scene was me trying to keep the boom out of shot whilst also operating it and being in the... scene.
And booming yourself.
Yes.
I guess, yeah.
I don't know if you've ever tried to boom yourself. It's an achievement. Let's just put it that way.
It's painful to watch.
I have a question. I don't mean to get off on the wrong foot here, but I mean, we went to a lot of effort to kind of restructure the building and put in new doors and windows to allow two of you to come into this interview.
Yeah.
Because usually there's three people in here tops and we've had to put in a lot of work. And the problem, I guess the thing is, like, boom operators don't tend to join the press tour, right? So typically, we've done all this just for a boom operator. I don't want to get off the wrong...
I don't want to be rude. Yeah, but I mean, have you heard the quality of the vocals in the film? Have you seen the film?
Oh,
I mean, the answer to that question, of course, is no, because it's actually a silent movie. Which, if anything,
that decision was made
during the production. Was it,
during the edit.
It was
so
because it turns out that this was actually your first experience of operating a boom. Or at least it was in a public place.
Well, I didn't hire me, did I?
No, but
I think that's on you. I think that is on you.
Is it his fault, really?
It is on you to screen the people that you're going to have working on your movie. I realised I was the only other person that was working
on it. But the problem is, obviously, as being writer, director, star, producer, editor, publicist, taxi driver...
HR.
Yeah, so this is the thing. So I essentially did everything.
Catering.
And I'm not catering, yeah, exactly, yeah. But I'm not very organised. So the problem is, I put it in. Obviously, I had a schedule, a shooting schedule.
Indeed, went onto that. Just
well, I put it I put all the schedule into Google calendar.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I forgot to change the time and the date. So everything, I thought I had ages, but I didn't. It was basically the day before, and I had to get somebody. The only thing I couldn't do was operate the boom because I'm scared of booms. Due to a childhood incident, of which we can't talk about anymore, due to legal ramifications. Oh, God.
It's okay, Ross. Just take your time.
So,
had you met...
We should move on.
Had you met before working on this movie together, or...?
I thought it was edible!
Oh.
Let's leave it, it's fine.
In many ways it was, but let's just move on from that.
Shall I stop the recording to give you a moment to compose yourself? And we're back.
He's good at composing himself because you were also the composer of the film.
Yeah.
I was.
We'll hear a snippet of that later on.
Yeah, we will.
So, have you not met each other at all before making this movie together?
Briefly. It was very brief.
Okay.
It was a brief
encounter.
A brief 9-year period of friendship.
Yeah.
I mean, it flew by.
Yeah.
If anything. Mainly due to repression on my part.
Mm-hmm.
I just hated it.
What would you say to accusations of nepotism then? If you know,
I mean,
looking for a boom operator and you hired someone who'd never done it before, professionally.
If that,
I'm not saying
if that
nepotism,
accusation is
saying,
being leveled.
Well, is it?
Well, if it is, I just want to know
what is nepotism.
Yes, because
you're gonna have to explain the word so we can defend or.
I'm agree. Sure, Ross. Understands that word, but just doesn't.
No, I don't. No, I don't.
Do you not?
No, I thought nepotism was.
Could you give it? Is it in layman's terms or boom operator's terms? If you prefer.
Yeah, Andy.
So nepotism means is when there's like one person and another person.
Yeah,
and then there's nepotism.
Yeah, and that's you know because there's two of them.
There's two of them.
Yeah,
I think
do they have to be related?
Well, that's what I'm saying.
What, the words and the meaning?
Do you have to be related? I mean, what I'm saying? Like,
what if they're cousins? Is that all right?
Exactly.
That's usually
what
right,
if they are?
It?
Let's be cousins.
You can do anything if you're cousins.
Let's be cousins. It's not a choice. We can't just decide.
Why not?
Well, we could, but we'd have to kind of rearrange both of our family structures and get some people to...
Do some things that they might not want to do.
Is there any legal ramifications?
Look, you just, I tell you what, you just operate the boom and I'll decide who's cousins or not.
I've seen a lot of French films about cousins. I don't know if I want to...
We're cousins, is what I've decided. Because
your cousins, okay, of
because
course.
You just operate the boom. You can't decide whether we're cousins or not. That's my job.
That's not nepotism,
okay,
then. That's fine.
It's not nepotism, no. I mean, it would be if we did anything in the future, because we only become cousins very recently. But
and that's the loophole.
That's the loophole, yeah.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I actually got him off Guardian Soulmates. That's where I found you.
Because that's where people get their cousins.
9 years ago.
And their boom operators.
Yeah.
Their boom operator.
I mean, it speaks to
male 32 looking for
cousin
to operate boom on ill-advised vanity project.
Yeah,
is how I put it.
I couldn't believe my luck, really.
You know,
how do you choose out of
the Guardian
applications
of all the cousins?
Yeah.
Just before we continue, how many of your cousins?
How many cousins do you have anyway?
Are on the Guardian Soulmate?
Six.
Six.
Yeah, there's Carl Evans.
Okay.
He started the cycle shop, but he got in touch. He says, "I'm tired of bikes and I'm looking to operate a boom." But I'm sorry.
Have you've worked with the other boom
previously? No, I'd interviewed.
I would hope so. I would have thought you would have told me about that if that was.
Well, no, he was casually racist. So what he would do, he was lean back in his chair and say horrific
baseball
things.
Baseball cap on backwards and then say some slurs.
And just slur.
To be fair, his grandmother did have that word on a grave. So, you know, it's...
What, saqueduct?
Yeah, saqueduct. So I'm not surprised.
I don't like having that word on this podcast.
Sorry,
guys.
Okay,
no,
we're sorry.
Let's talk a little bit more about the film.
Okay.
It's a silent movie.
Yep.
What's it about?
It's basically about my journey from a bridge under a railway, which is where I was brought up. It was just outside Swan. No, it wasn't Swan. You're the boom operator. Don't come in here telling me where I was brought up.
I just thought it should have been set in Swansea, but anyway.
Well, then it wouldn't have been true, would it? It wouldn't be a biopic.
You tell your biopic. No, it's not yet.
Right. Look, I was brought up in a railway arch. In Alfreton, in Derbyshire, a lovely part of Derbyshire, where, curiously, there aren't any railways, so why there was an arch there, I have absolutely no idea whatsoever. But
sure it was a railway, not like a disused aqueduct, or... sorry, we can't say that.
Sorry, you have to bleep that out. You're going to have to bleep that out.
Do we need to edit that out? Should we take a break, or are we...?
Yeah, I'll do it now.
Okay.
We're back.
Okay.
Luckily, it was a viaduct, which is fine.
And
they actually produced that was Viacom. They produced it. Can we say that? Can we say the production company? We said it now.
I think so, that's fine.
So I was brought up in a railway arch in Alfreton by the Crankies, and I just thought that needed to be told. So that's what it's about.
And what was it when you got the final cut back with all the sound on it that then you decided, no, get rid of that?
Get rid of the sound, yeah.
It was weeping, pretty much. You'd had a tough time, hadn't you?
Yeah.
And you she struggled.
It was...
The long takes, I guess, was that a particular difficulty for you, having to hold the boom, maybe a line.
I've got very small arms, and
bearing in mind this entire
as well, so it's kind of it was very very tough for me.
It was very much inspired by a Birdman. So this was entirely this is a one continuous shot.
The problem was the
director, the star, the and did all the camera operating and everything, but I was determined to do everything in one shot.
So the audio... You say that it wasn't as technically accomplished as Birdman, because the entire film is just one shot of you under a railway arch.
Yeah, but I had to direct... while in being in front of the camera and acting under that railway arch, I also had to turn the camera on.
Yes, and off again at the end.
Sorry?
You can edit that out of the actual, you know, movie.
No, because I was...
fumbling around at the lens at the beginning of the movie. I don't think...
No, I didn't edit that out.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think you could have done.
But I chose not to.
It gives the film something unique. That particularly, the opening scene of you turning the camera on, I feel like it brings the audience into the...
Sort of Blair Witch kind of homage, was it? A sort of found footage kind of...
Well, if you've ever been to Alfreton, then yes. It's, yeah.
But actually, that was very... that's actually how it happened.
The original... That's how you turned the camera on? Or?
No, that's how the Blair Witch happened.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, someone just turned the camera on.
Yeah, it just happened. It was very coincidental, because if they turned the camera on earlier, they wouldn't have seen it.
And if they hadn't turned it on, no one would have seen it.
No one would have seen it.
Mm. So you're saying Blair Witch is a biopic?
Yes. Of Blair Witch. It was his project.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, thinking about it, going back through it now.
It
didn't take me very long. It's not a very long movie.
No, it's not. No.
Speaking of which, this runs at a pacey 43 minutes.
Pacey.
Did you, most films traditionally about twice that, at least. Would you call this half a movie?
Well, the problem was that a big chunk of the film was audio only.
Mm.
Yeah.
It was originally 4 hours long.
Right. So because it's silent, you just have to scrap all of that.
We have to take all of that out.
Okay. And what was that? Just a kind of soundscape? Sort of you just
kind of was it rustling, muffled
with the boom in the boot of Ross's car.
Yes,
more weeping.
Weeping.
There was quite a lot of weeping actually.
Can I clarify with the weeping? Was that emotionally or physically?
One led to the other.
So you were the emotional led to the physical weeping.
Which is not the traditional way, actually. It's usually the other.
Yeah, usually you go, oh shit, what are these sores?
Listen, if the emotional weeping is severe enough, it will lead to physical
Or if the pH balance is off in your tears.
Yes, very true. Yeah. And I've been drinking alkaline solutions for a long time, so that's probably why.
Which is you used to treat the boom mics normally, but you've just been
As a cleaning product, exactly.
Yeah.
And I care very deeply about that boom, so much so that I'm willing to compromise my own health for the.
Yeah, you're trying to get into the mindset of the boom in a way.
I'm a method boom operator, so
I can't help but feel that there's a lot of focus on the boom here.
Well, you did bring me.
Oh, I did. You had a choice.
Fair enough. Carol.
Throughout the entire production of the film, I did keep saying to you, "You can get rid of me at any point. This is your choice."
Yeah, but mate, you're my cousin.
I wasn't until 5 minutes ago.
I know, but that has retrospectively changed my opinion on what decisions I made at the time.
I haven't really discussed this with you yet, but I am.
Is this a good time to do it?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
I think so because I'm considering taking the other element of the film that you removed. And releasing that as a double-fold vinyl concept album.
That's fine.
I mean, we can't talk about that on this
podcast.
That's
not a movie. If that's not a movie, then that's not for us, I'm afraid.
Is there something I can do to...
Visuals to it, release it in cinemas, and maybe then...
Is there a standard for the visuals? I'm not really... If you just sort of paste
a picture onto the vinyl, maybe... Just cut out a picture.
Picture disc. And then put the vinyl on, because the vinyl's moving. It's a moving picture.
That's right.
Or a movie, if you like.
But have to release it in cinemas.
Yeah.
Well, if I went to the cinema with the record player, that would be fine.
Yeah, just sell it behind the popcorn stand, then...
Okay, that's fine. Right,
So just promise you'll do that, and then we can talk about it.
Yes, okay, all right, that's fine.
So can we go back to talking about Under the Bridge, the Alfreton story?
Of course.
Is that what it is? Say the title again for the glisteners, just so they...
Under the... Under the Bridge, the Alfreton story.
Okay. Is there a colon in there, or is it a silent colon?
Ross's
core. It's not
very,
silent.
Very. That's part of the sound problems we had. Actually, there was a lot of
noisy colons.
Yeah. Noisy colon.
Yeah. Yeah, like we've already got one in the title. We can't have one in.
I tried to have a semicolon, but I was too excited. Now.
What was your what was your word for a semi the other day that you taught me?
Yeah, that's the sequel. It's called Gumby. And
what's that one going to be about?
It's a man who is constantly half erect.
Yeah, which was the rest of my life after, because due to the what happened, you know, during the Under the Bridge, I cannot maintain a full erection.
And it's also about your life and events going on with that happening.
Well, because it's really
very famous events that a lot of people know about.
Well, these things thinking about happen,
but that's in the sequel. That's going to be the sequel.
Well, that's going to be Forrest Gumby
during the filming.
No, this is from the 43 minutes. Because it's inaccurate. Part of the reason it's that length is because that's how long it took me to be brought up. I'd left the railway arch 43 minutes after I'd been brought up in it. So
it's in real time then?
Yeah, because it's one shot. It's one continuous shot.
Yes, of course. Right.
So I age rapidly. Yeah, during that 43 minutes.
I mean, some would say that the story being told in this movie is almost nothing. and
some would say that.
When you describe the sequel, that sounds like a man dealing with problems and how and like interacting in everyday
society.
One
very specific problem.
Mm. Yeah, and you think that would be an interesting kind of subject to frame a movie around, rather than 43 minutes of silence and
just being under a bridge.
Being under a bridge.
But the things.
Do you know what would be key in the second film? The sound. I really think that would be a key part.
But can we just
telling the story? And in order to get the sound, you need, of course,
and what would
a boom.
What would a Gumby sound like?
A Gumby.
Like this.
This sound is going on during a close-up shot of the Gumby.
Yeah. That's what I hear every time I look at it.
As it awakens.
In black and white, as it awakens. As it awakens to its almost full potential and then slowly ceases back down again. And undulates between those two states without ever reaching, almost. Yes, like a sound wave, which is very important, of course, yeah.
And what does that do to your mental state? Have that undulating for so long?
Who's Gumby, is it? Is it a stunt Gumby or is it real?
No, well, you haven't made it yet. This is the sequel. We've gone up. The time scale of this is all over the place.
Well, you're in the planning stages, I assume. You want to know if you're using your own Gumby or you're hiring an outside Gumby.
We've put an ad
I'm
in the Guardian.
Promoting the first one.
We've put an ad in the Guardian. Soul.
Are you going to get another cousin?
A Gumby actor.
Another cousin to do it. Okay.
I mean,
the problem with performing with your cousins around you and trying to maintain a Gumby is it can lead to some very traumatic mental states.
Mm. How do you know? Why you're the boom operator? You're telling my story of my Gumby.
What, a boom operator can't maintain a Gumby? Is that what you're saying?
Plus, he's your cousin. He knows all about your story.
He knows about cousins and having cousins.
You turned up to every family party we've ever had with your Gumby out. What do you mean? I don't know about it.
You haven't been to any of my family parties because you've only recently become my cousin.
Oh yeah.
So,
well, I don't know who that guy was then, but he was there with his...
Just get the chronology right, all right, first?
The what?
Or I'll get...
Get the what?
The chronology.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to explain what that word means.
It's the same nepotism, isn't it?
It's very much the same.
Okay, all right.
No, it's the opposite of
nepotism. Oh, it's the opposite of nepotism, yeah. That's what I meant. Yeah.
It's where you refuse to hire family members.
Because it happened before. Yeah.
Because it happened before, and it keeps gate-crashing my press tour, so...
Yeah. Mm.
Okay.
Many dates on this press tour?
Three. There's this one, then there's one... in Alfreton, actually.
Yeah. Just outside the Lido.
Just outside the Lido, yeah. They tried to let us in the Lido.
But you had a Gumby, so...
But someone had forgotten the key. So, unfortunately, I had to try and break into the Lido, and they weren't having any of that, so now I have to do it outside the Lido. And then the third one is Cannes Film Festival.
Do you know that one?
Is that a popular film festival?
Yeah, it's spelled K-A-N. It's in the Czech Republic, and it's held every 7 years to exclusively promote films that are 45 minutes or shorter. Oh. Because they have to do it every 7 years, because there's just not many of them.
Just made it then?
Just yeah. made it. Yeah.
I think you're very.
If you recorded the sound, we wouldn't have been in it.
Is
so.
That part of the reason that you edited it so heavily? Is just to get yourself being eligible for that.
And also,
the thing to remember though, at that length, a film that runs at that length, it's not a feature length film.
Yeah,
and it depends how many films you've watched. How short the films you've watched.
It's not short either, which in many ways makes it like the Gumby itself, because it's somewhere in between those two states. So I think
it is
qualifying
visualizing it.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
So the sequel to the Gumby will be a sort of allegory for
you. Have you just titled my film?
Oh, that's about the Gumby, the sequel.
It's about a Gumby, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's it going to be called, do you know?
Forrest Gumby.
Forrest Gumby, I think Josh said earlier.
Look, the boom operator does not get to title the film, all right? It's called Gumbo. it's about an elephant who's just trying to find his way in the world.
But unfortunately, his trunk...
can't
get into the fly.
I think the term is the Spanish would say it's an allegory.
Yeah. What would the English call it?
An allegory.
An allegory, probably.
A story. It's a bit like it. Animation. So that's going to be animated. It will be animated.
An animated Gumby.
So you don't need a stunt Gumby.
I don't need a boom operator either for animation. So we just do it all.
How are you going to record the voices? With the beam, I would have thought.
Straight into the beam.
With two cans and a piece of string. But one of the cans will be a computer, and the other can will be a microphone.
Okay, all right, yeah.
And the string will be still string or
it'll be a wire connecting the two.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is there any way we can attach one of the microphones to a long pole and do it that way? Is that
to create a boom?
Yeah.
Do you know anyone who could operate that?
I do. Yeah. Me.
Oh.
Oh right. You're right. You're hired.
Oh, thanks, mate.
There you go, mate.
What
a cousin's for if it's not for...
Hiring you to make a 45-minute film about a Gumby.
A 43-minute film.
Sorry.
Because bear in mind that Under the Bridge, of course, was also inspired by the Red Hot Chili Peppers' first album.
That's first album.
And that was 43 minutes long.
So. Which is amazing, considering Under the Bridge didn't appear until their fourth album.
Yeah, Blood Sugar.
Yeah. Yeah, but their first album, which was, of course...
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah.
Spell that. curiously, what people don't know is that Flea had a Gumby, and that's why he wore a sock on it.
At all times?
At all times, yeah. Jesus.
The chronic Gumby.
His bass is very often obscuring the Gumby.
Yeah. He must be very zen, though, to be able to never go too far or lose it.
Well, that's why he's such a good bassist, because the bass player is very much like a Gumby.
Yeah.
If
high or too low in the mix, you want to be sort of...
Exactly,
sort of a bit player.
Yeah, you don't want to dominate proceedings, and you can't with the Gumby.
So he likes playing bass, but he doesn't love playing bass.
Yeah, he's just but he can play bass.
Right. Okay.
He can from the right angle. You can play bass, but it's
with the Gumby.
It's just not satisfying.
I mean, he moves between Gumby and plectrum, but you know that could.
Which is
he uses his fingers, doesn't he, Flea?
Slap bass.
He's a slap bass player.
But then
you're a slap boom operator.
I am
actually.
A slap boom operator, yeah.
He only operates the boom if I slap him.
I do a great impression of playing bass with my boom.
A great impression of it. So you don't actually do
it's
it.
Like air bass.
It's like
air
bass. Someone doing it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I did invest a lot of money in an air bass where to keep all my planes.
So, were there any, got any good sort of, you know, funny tales about, you know, what was happening during the film?
I've got a funny tale.
Pranks on set.
He has got a funny tale.
I've got a very funny tale.
Yeah?
It's your testament, you know, that's...
It's a Gumby. That's what makes it a funny tale.
Yeah.
Got a funny tale.
Any pranks on set is what I'm asking, really.
There was that one time, wasn't there, where you'd turned up to operate the boom...
Mm-hmm.
And
there was more than one
because I think that is what Josh was hired to do.
No, he was, but
is that, you know, is that really a prank or is that just him doing his job?
But little did he know
that
I had replaced his can of Coke with a live tiger. And
I got a real shock. I mean,
did you figure that out? Just bring it to your lips and suddenly you thought, hold on.
The thing is, Tim, that you have to remember about being a professional.
Who's Tim?
Boom. Huh?
Who's Tim?
This gentleman sat right here.
Oh!
The thing that you have to remember, Tim, about operating a boom is that if you're going to do it properly, you really have to take it seriously. And when you're in the zone with it, you don't really notice much else of what's going on around
much
you.
Much like Flea, as then you suddenly just, that's all you're
just in
about.
Your zone, that's all you're thinking about.
You're holding up your giant boom Gumby.
Exactly. And if a live tiger happens to be within my vista, I'm not necessarily going to notice it.
So live tigers are quite, you know, you got to work out the health and safety, and like they're quite an expensive thing to have on set. Do you not consider making it CGI?
What, the whole film or the tiger?
No, just the tiger.
For the prank.
For the prank.
Well, no, but I don't know if you know about Alfreton, but they do have an abundance of live tigers ever since.
I did know that, actually.
Did you?
Did you?
Why didn't you bring it up earlier?
Well, it's your story.
Yeah, fair point.
So they're not endangered? No, it's just people just haven't looked?
No, they are endangered everywhere but Alfreton.
Right, right, right.
But no one ever goes to Alfreton.
So they don't know?
So they don't know.
Because of the tigers? Or they're just...
No, because
it's
of the...
Well, they're drawn, they were just sort of, just, you know,
in spite of the tigers?
A lot of the time you would try and go to the Lido for a swim and it is full of live tigers.
Full of live tigers.
And that's why they locked it up, I assume.
Yes, that's why it is locked, and that's why you shouldn't have really been trying to get in, but that was, you know...
Yeah.
Yeah, but nobody told me that, did they? It wasn't on the Wikipedia.
Well, there's nobody else in Alfreton. It's just a town run by live tigers now.
Which run by them?
Yeah.
So they administrate the money of it. Is the mayor a live tiger?
A tiger, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah. Which, I tell you what, made for...
Well, then you really shouldn't have been so surprised that one showed up on set.
I wasn't surprised. I didn't even notice it was there. I was operating the boom.
You become, if anything, rather complacent around the tigers, whereas I was still very much on guard.
Yeah.
Are there any non-live tigers there?
There's some dead tigers. Is that what you...
Or there's anything else?
Yeah. Some pre-recorded tigers. There's a few pre-recorded tigers.
They've got a tiger... I didn't see a dead tiger, but they do have a tiger graveyard.
Right.
Some of the words on those gravestones just really...
Ugh. Oh.
Yeah.
Unacceptable.
What? The most curious thing, of course...
it said Tigger.
Tigger, all right, okay. You want to talk about the Gumby again?
I'm just remembering my childhood. It's come back again.
Do you want me to pause while you collect yourself? Oh. And we're back.
He's the only one. Now,
Tigger had a very his tail was he was very good at keeping it rigid, not to what?
Was he ill?
Was he ill?
Yeah, what was wrong with his tail? Was it sort of
It was a Gumby.
Okay, that's good.
Now, the curious thing about the film is that during the 43-minute runtime, at no point do we actually mention the fact that the town where I was brought up is entirely run by
live
tigers.
They are walking in and out of shot constantly.
This is why it became such an expensive film. To try and keep the tigers at bay.
Which is why I had to hire my cousin as a boom operator. So, if anything, this is the true story of the film.
So you were using the boom to kind of just shoo the tigers away as a kind of like...
At times, yes. And this kind of led... by no fault of my own, to a lot of the reason we had to cut the sound. I mean,
They would shred the boom.
Well, not the boom, the mic.
The roaring, presumably.
Yeah, a lot of roaring, all sorts of things. Lines. And so then we're there in the edit, and Ross is there going, this is unacceptable, you can't hear what I'm saying or really get any of the
roaring,
action. I'm saying I had to fight off a live tiger to get this take. And
it does give the movie a bit of an edge, though. It doesn't, you know, definitely...
Yeah, but only
like...
if we wanted the tigers to be in shot, which we didn't. And otherwise, it's actually quite distracting from the drama... It was portrayed very well by you, I must say.
Well, thank you very much. It means a lot coming from my cousin as a boom operator.
Which he is lucky because... otherwise it would mean less.
Otherwise it would mean absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
But luckily you've said it. So, I mean, if you'd said it, Tim...
Do you want me to do more?
Yeah?
No.
Could you? Just to see... I want to see if my reaction would be the same.
What was it you said?
Oh, I've forgotten. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, well, that's lost to the annals of history. If only there was some way this was recorded.
So, the... when you lost the sound...
Yeah.
You lost your words. Yeah. And it was a very dense script, as I understand it.
Well,
I did see you mouthing a lot of words, so I presumed...
I've got the script here.
Should I open it up?
We'll just open up to the first page, so...
Even though the film ended up being half the length of a normal film,
the script
is eight times longer than a normal film.
It's pretty, it's got
a lot of heft to it. That's
it's chunky.
That you wouldn't call the script a Gumby.
Well, due to modern audio editing techniques, we were able to actually do a take that was around about the 8-hour mark and then just kind of beat that up.
So all of that was scripted then?
Yeah, it's very high pitched. All of the soundscapes. Very, very high pitched.
Oh, yeah, I'm just flicking to the back here. This is all obviously the kind of screeches are written out phonetically. Yeah. So that is.
That's why it's such a dense script. And actually, if you. It was sort of
the bond of the paper that you'd used, or.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, right. Sorry. Yeah, it was 350 GSM double sided gloss card.
It was very expensive.
It was very expensive. Very expensive. I
made the only one character in the movie. Oh, two, obviously.
And luckily, only one copy of the script. Yeah,
I asked for a copy. Yeah,
right.
But you couldn't have one because I spent all the script budget on the one script
on the paper.
On the paper, yeah, essentially, yeah. I mean, I think it was worth it personally.
Do you want to just give us a little? Because obviously, no one that's going to see the film will hear any of the lines.
Yeah, that's a good point. Actually,
do you want to give us a little snippet of the opening monologue? Or
yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
it's an opening monologue. The whole thing's a monologue, but do you want to opening few lines?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you want? I've got the script here. If you can't remember it,
no, I can remember it.
Oh, okay, I'll throw it away.
No, don't throw it away. It fucking cost thousands.
No, sorry.
Why did you decide to make the paper on the script centred? What scent is it?
Well, because it's something that keeps tigers away. What was it called again?
I can't remember. It's like those mosquito candles that have got the scented thing that keeps them away, but like a lot stronger.
It's a lot stronger.
Bleach.
It was the scent of bleach.
Scratch and sniff.
Bleach. That's why my nose is bleach.
But it was dual purpose, because it wasn't just to keep the tigers away, but it did also. They say smell is the most powerful motivator of
memory. Who do tigers?
They were trying to tell us that, but you know.
But you interpreted that from the tigers?
Yes, I was interpreting.
Oh, wow. You're a lot more than a boom operator, really, aren't you?
So you grew up on bleach, and that's why you scented the script, to get yourself back into that mindset.
Exactly. Yeah. It's a method thing for us to get back into that.
Well, obviously, I mean, due to the fact that tigers run the entire town, they're not particularly good at stocking shops, for example. So, you know.
Famously.
They've tried, but it's just everything is in tatters by the time they've tried to put things back on.
They
do
their best, to their credit.
Yeah.
But they do.
Yeah,
they sell a
they're
lot.
Hard workers.
They have opposable thumbs. Yeah.
So. They sell a lot of tatters in there. so that's essentially I grew up on bleach and tatters, which is
It's a traditional Alfreton dish. Meal.
It is. Bleach
which
and tatters.
Is also the third movie in the franchise that you're currently working on.
No, that's a buddy cop movie. Okay. Bleach and tatters. Bleach is the good cop, and tatters is
the tiger.
Yeah, no, the tatter.
Okay.
He's a tatter.
I'm so sorry.
I think we maybe pronounce it in too much of a northern vernacular.
It's
a sort of a yellow vegetable with maybe you don't have them down here. Doesn't matter.
It doesn't sound like it. No,
yeah, we don't really have vegetables.
No,
no,
no.
Well, you're one of them, Alfreton, fucking full of them.
The tigers don't eat them all.
They're not really into vegetables.
No, you're thinking of you're thinking of
what's he thinking of? What were you thinking of?
You're thinking of painkillers in the jungle.
That's parrots.
Yeah. Oh, I meant parrots, not tigers.
Yeah.
Sorry, I got confused. Alfreton's entirely run by parrots. Why don't you tell me that I was saying the wrong word?
I didn't realise. I was under the same illusion as well that they were tigers.
And I wonder if any of the conversation makes any sense now that it turns out they were.
We'll
all
go
parrots.
back and think about it.
It's a shame, really, that they've all turned to become parrots.
Well, if it turns out they were tigers,
in many ways, isn't a parrot just a baby tiger?
Yeah.
As we've learned, that is how they came across on the screen.
Yeah.
To be fair, I don't know what filter you used, but it was. They seem more like baby tigers.
It was just one that came with the AeroPress.
So, the opening few lines.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's not get distracted from that.
Oh, okay.
You get very shy about this, don't you? Because it's difficult.
It's very personal.
It's very personal. We may experience some weeping after the performance.
Source? Physically or emotionally?
Physically, from
me. Yeah.
Source? What are you, Wikipedia?
I feel like you're getting away from the task at hand here, Ross.
All right, okay.
Come on. It's powerful stuff.
On your own time.
He's definitely doing that.
Do you want the script?
No, it's
this. It doesn't look good.
It's coming.
I'll get it from
Do we take a break?
Wait, it's melting a bit.
He's doing the first line of the script. The first line is...
Oh, no, sorry. I should clarify. I know the film is silent, but I do want you to deliver the line with sound.
Oh, okay. All right, in that case, okay.
You were just mouthing it for a second. I want you to
Let's cut to the 40-minute mark where you start talking.
Mama just killed a man. Put a gun against his head. Are they parrots or tigers?
That was really strong.
That sets the whole tone for the film, essentially.
And it has that ambiguity at the end of, like, which one is it?
Mm. Yeah.
Are they parrots or tigers?
So can we...
But they are tigers.
They're tigers.
Can we talk about that last shot?
What, the one where when I shot the parrot?
Yeah.
Or was it a tiger?
Well,
That's very much to the interpretation of the viewer, I think.
Because one of them is a horrendous act, and the other one is a altruistic act.
Funny, yeah.
And it's funny.
Yeah.
Which one do you lean towards?
Neither.
I lean towards the one that's making the sound, because as the boom operator, that's primarily where my interest
is. It's your bread and butter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is why you made terrible sandwiches.
Because they're made out of boom mics?
Yeah.
That's a lot of food.
That's right.
No, I know.
Yeah.
But there's not a lot of food in Alfreton.
Yeah. No, just parrots.
Or tigers.
And bleach and tatters.
Like you said, you thought you could eat it. You thought you could eat it.
So when are we expecting this to be out in theatres?
Oh, it's not. We're going to release it entirely on...
straight to DVD?
No, straight to Blu-ray, actually. Okay. I've got higher class aspirations. And I'll cut a deal with Blu-ray. He's the third one.
I told you not to deal with him.
He's the one on the the Blue Man Group. He's the one on the left.
He's Ray.
He's
yes.
Blu-ray.
Ray.
Yeah. Then there's
a guy from Eiffel 65.
Blue.
Yeah. Blue Dabba Dee Da.
Yeah.
Him.
And then there's
one of the members of Blue. Is it?
Yeah.
Darren.
Oh, Darren.
Yes. He was the silent member of Blue.
Yeah.
The fifth member.
The fifth member of Blue. The fifth Beatle
is sort of like just always in the background orchestrating it all.
He told them
to arise.
He did.
I think he was.
But
the
they wouldn't because they all had Gumbies.
I think.
So do you see that? You see that role as very much that whole. You know, the boom operator is a kind of like for you. The phrase means the fifth member of Beatles. The fifth member of Blue. The orchestrator.
Yes.
You were the Pete best boom operator.
Thank you. My name's Josh, but thank you for saying that was the best boom operator. That's
all right, Pete.
I've forgotten.
What was your favourite bit of the film?
I think my favourite bit of the film was the post-credit scene.
That was. I'm glad you said that. Not everyone stays for that, despite the fact that they're essentially watching it at home on a Blu-ray.
And I think after they saw it,
some of them just leave.
They regret their decision.
They probably do.
Just staying and just leave the house.
The credits are almost as long as the script, though, so it's a real.
That's because I mean I put my name in those credits a lot.
Yeah,
mainly
you did a lot of roles.
Well, I did all the roles apart from
boom operator.
In that last shot where you.
Curiously enough, though, I forgot to put you in the credits.
Mm. Oh, that's sad.
That's so curious.
Yeah.
Very curious.
I did name every parrot and tiger. Parrot, tiger, what were they?
Yeah.
Parrot, tigers.
Yeah, parrot, tigers, let's go.
So, that last shot...
Sorry, pirates! I meant pirates. Alfreton is entirely populated by pirates.
So, that last shot where you shot a pirate in the head...
Yeah.
Or a tiger.
...is very, you know, emotive. But why did you decide to put... arguably a more powerful scene in the post-credits when you massacre 50-plus pirates.
You wipe out the entire population of Alfreton, really. You cleansed that town.
It was never intended to be in the film, but Ross has an amazing ability to turn the camera on, but when it comes to turning it off, not so good.
Well, I assume there was another switch. I assume there was an on switch and an off switch, and I spent a lot of time looking for that off switch.
You didn't want to do the same one.
And during that time,
a large crowd of tigers had gathered.
Pirates.
Pirates.
And I had to deal with them somehow. And luckily, I had an antique blunderbuss, which is...
That's so lucky.
It was very lucky.
If only more people had antique blunderbusses. I don't know how unlucky they are currently.
I don't think people really value old-fashioned forms of weaponry as much these days as they used to.
Well, I mean, you brought a bayonet onto the set every day.
I attached it to the end of my boom, that's right.
Of course,
right.
You did. Yeah. It's just very useful.
To fend off the tigers.
That's right.
The parrots.
I don't want to compromise the sound by also using the boom as a defence mechanism, so I attached it.
What, emotionally or...?
Both.
Right. Okay.
What
does a boom operate?
Listen, man, don't make me distinguish between my emotional and physical attachment to my boom. All right. That's
why not.
That's between me and the boom. All right.
Right.
What? So, which bit did you like? The music that managed to sneak in during the credits, because that was obviously the only bit of sound that we managed to hear.
Hmm.
But obviously, you were the composer of all of the music for the film.
Yeah.
Which it only includes that one song during the end credits.
Well, I'm not a very good composer, so I play to my strengths.
Well, we have, you know, obviously, as you can see in the studio, we have loads of instruments around.
You do? What's that one?
It's a guitar.
Oh! Right, that I thought that was a
that's because I thought I heard a guitar on the during the 2 seconds, but that's not what it was.
No, no, it wasn't. No, that was a theremin.
Oh, well, we have one of them.
Oh, I'm great on that. I could do that.
That's that over there.
Yeah.
Do you want to just play us maybe the
yeah?
Just to finish out the interview, would that be all right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Were you involved with it at all with the?
Do you want to do the low or the top, the high pitch? What do you want to?
As you know, I generally, I'm a boom operator.
You just record them.
Yeah, but I don't even really record them because, you know, traditionally musical instruments don't require a boom to be recorded. You can use a mic stand. So this is all on you, I'm afraid.
Okay. You ready?
Okay. All right. Are we?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No, we were.
Mama.
So they were tigers.
They were tigers, after all. Yeah. The parrots and the pirates were merely metaphorical.
Interesting. Josh Sadler, Ross Briley, thank you very much for coming in. Thank you.
It's our pleasure.
It's not.
It's not our pleasure.
It's mine.
It's yours.
Thank you. All right, listener questions.
Listener question time. Thanks, that was great interview. Yeah, now time to close our listener questions.
Should we get these guys to do, like, with the intro, get them to...
Oh, yeah, we could do some listener questions. Aren't they? Yeah. So, what have we got for listener questions, guys?
Josh, you got any listener questions?
No.
Okay, cheers.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.